This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello there, funny lady Judith Lucy, and of course you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be just plain f***ed in the head if you listened to anything else.
I jumped in there, didn't I? Hello there, it's Kath and Brian with you for another episode of...
Lefty Pink Guys. That's she gets you every time, didn't she, Kath? Judith Lucy in her, you know, funny ways.
Oh, she cracks me up. She's fabulous. You are with Joy, and for the next hour we're going to be talking about...
cyberbullying. Yeah. And we're actually going to, like, Lefty Pinkos, we've kind of got into some political stuff, but this episode, this week, we're actually going to get a little bit, gritty, prickly, and talk about
gnarly.
and talk about issues of, politics within the left, and cyberbullying. We've got a couple of very special guests in this week to talk about their experiences of being bullied online.
And I thought it was, just as we were talking about this, Brian was coming up with a few terms I haven't heard before, one of which is lateral violence.
That's right. We're going to kind of get a little bit, we're going to have a lot of discussions, a lot of probably new words that you may not have heard before. So we'll be sure to define what we're talking about as we go throughout the show. But it's actually one of those shows where I do encourage people to, if you've got a contribution to make or you want to offer an opinion, maybe offer an experience. Ask a question of our guests or, kind of offer some advice or guidance or, you know, talk about how we deal with...
Because the more we talk about this, the more we realise if it's not us, we all know someone who's been in a similar situation to this.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like, lateral violence is one of those things that, as an Aboriginal person, it's something that happens in the Aboriginal community and we've actually named it within our community. The latest Social Justice Commissioner for the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission in Sydney, actually they've got this social justice report out now that talks about lateral violence in the Aboriginal community. And just to define it, start off with a definition, it's actually about when the oppressed becomes the oppressed. And I see it in the Aboriginal community.
I see it in the disability community. Yep. And we see it in the queer communities.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that kind of prickly issue and how it plays, it's how it's played out with our special guest tonight online, because social media is a fairly new way to communicate and be involved with people. And sometimes I kind of feel that we don't have a head around the way we do that responsibly. Mm. And so tonight's episode of Lefty Pinkos will be all about that kind of stuff. So
fun.
If you've got any feedback or input or advice or comments or questions, I do encourage you to SMS us in on 0427 Joy 949. What's the phone number, Kat?
The phone number is 1-300-JOY-949.
Or you can email us and I'll come into the inbox here in the studio.
Right in front of Brian.
At onair@joy.org.au. And as always, Lefty Pinkos, we've got some pretty good, fun, lefty kind of music coming up and programmed as part of our show. So, shall we get into that?
Yeah, stay with us.
Yeah, we'll be back after this little bit of Frankie Ocean.
Joy 94.9.
Just after 8 here on Lefty Pinkos with Kath and Brian.
How you going?
I'm just tops. How about yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm actually a little bit anxious, to be honest, and I'll be, upfront about that because it's we're going to be talking about some pretty heavy stuff here tonight. And on that note, I just want to read out a few notes that I've put together. And in terms of responsibility, we're going to bring up some issues that might make people bring up some stuff within people themselves. And I kind of just want to say that if any of our listeners out there feel that it does bring up stuff, I just want to remind you that we've got some services within our community, like the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. Within Victoria here, they can be contacted on 03-9663-2939. They're a Victorian service specific to Victoria and Australia, but if you Google, you can actually find services that might be able to help you with, experiences around anxiety or depression or whatnot. We've also got within Australia another great service called Beyond Blue, and they've actually kind of really ramped up their, work within the GLBTIQ community. And again, they can be accessed via 1-300-22-4636, or you can go to their website, which is www.beyondblue.org.au. But I just want to kind of put that out there because tonight we're going to be talking about social media, about, our rights within that sense of, freedom of speech and whatnot, but also that responsibility that comes with that. And our guests tonight, we've got two wonderful women, two very generous women, actually, Ruby and Amber. in to join us to talk about, I guess, their experiences. Ruby has experienced, and we're not going to go into specifics, actually. We're just going to talk generally about Ruby's experiences of being bullied online. And I guess it has a lot to do with politics, too, in the sense that, I guess, within left politics, I'm not sure that it happens often in the right, on the right side of things, but there's something that, what's that term you use, Kath?
It's, the oppression Olympics.
Yeah, the oppression Olympics,
yeah,
where it's kind of...
where it can almost want to determine who has the greater right to speak. So that, you know, there are certain things you are and aren't allowed to comment on depending on where you stand in the oppression Olympics.
Yeah.
And I think this is sort of touching on those issues.
Yeah, well, I guess, Ruby's case will kind of, I guess, bring up those issues around who has the right to speak, who has the most currency to speak within the you know, political spectrum.
And that contested space.
Yeah. Mm. But I guess I just want to kind of open to our guests and say welcome to Lefty Pinkos and the Joy Studios.
Hey,
Ruby.
Hey,
Amber.
Ruby.
Hi.
Hey, Amber.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi,
welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Perhaps then we could start, Ruby, with a bit of a sense of how the bullying made you feel.
I guess I felt really isolated because I guess with the internet now, it's something that doesn't end. It's happening. It happens for 24 hours of your day, and you can't really get away with it, away from it. When you're not on the internet, you're thinking about what's going to have been posted about me next, what's been screen capped, what's been put all over the internet, what are the repercussions of this going to be for my future? And the isolation is a really big problem. And I'd heard about this thing, kind of this thing called internet or cyberbullying, and didn't really understand it, you know, just thought it wasn't really that real. And then it happened to me, and to have people launching at you from all sides with knives out just kind of at you, metaphorically, but also emotionally, is really, really hard to have a break from. And this went on with me for weeks.
And some were people that you knew and some were people you didn't know.
Yes, yep.
So you included best friends and complete strangers.
Yes, yep. And all different kinds of people. And people who made huge assumptions about me because of what they'd read other people had written.
Post about you and stuff.
Yeah, and also just obviously what they'd heard about me. And I guess that's another thing that's really important to remember is that just because someone writes it on the internet doesn't mean it's real.
It's factual, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I guess, you know, in terms of Ruby, the, like, you know, like it was in the Facebook forum or the social platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did that sort of thing play in you where, like, within groups, you kind of, like, if somebody's notified about something, a comment within a
yes,
Facebook
everyone
page,
knows.
And you can actually see who's seen it.
Yes.
Like, it's been seen by, you know, X amount of people.
Exactly.
In your case, how many people had viewed these comments about you?
Like, at times, over 200 people.
Yeah.
It was a private group, but, yeah, people started to get added.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people just kind of getting on there and just viewing it. And I guess maybe that was one of the hardest parts, is that there was a lot of people who were remaining silent while certain people were getting targeted, which was really sad. You know, people can throw stuff at you and you can try to shake it off, but people that stand by and watch are, you know, for me, were doing much more damage to me emotionally.
And one of those people who could have sat by and said nothing but who chose not to is our buddy here, Amber. Now, Amber, you became a bit closer. You guys knew each other vaguely, but you became a lot closer to Ruby over watching this happen. How did you determine what you were going to do about this cyberbullying episode that was at that stage becoming quite public?
For me, I kind of believe that you can't really sit by and watch something happen that you think is wrong. Like, I did not think that the way this was being handled was right. I thought it was bullying. I thought it was cruel. I thought the things that were being said were horrible. And it was quite clear that there were other agendas going on. And so I just tried to say something and say that it was bullying, it needs to stop. But, you know.
How was that?
Did that feed that or did it come?
Yeah. It
doesn't really work. Often in these sort of debates, I think, and they take place over events, you know, that it seemed to be not right or not PC.
Like un-PC or something, yeah.
Yeah, and there's definite, I think, particularly on the internet, a right and a wrong, it seems. And if you don't side with the side that, you know, is
right, yeah.
Or if you might disagree with something, then you're seen to be also now wrong.
Yep. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkers. We've actually got a few messages from some of our listeners. And the first one says, a well-needed discussion in our communities. Thanks for creating the space for it. And then they've the same person has come in again and said, actually, oppression Olympics in itself silences people. So I guess, yeah, I just want to encourage, if you've got any comments about cyberbullying or, you know, questions for our guests here tonight, you can SMS us in on 0427 Joy 949 or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. We'll be back after these short announcements.
Download Joy's free iPhone app, joy.org.au.
You're with Lefty Pinkos and we're talking to Ruby and Amber. We're talking about cyberbullying, about what happened or what can happen in kind of your worst cyber nightmares, really, on Facebook or any other social platform that's out there where you get targeted.
Now, Ruby, you mentioned Facebook, but I guess, you know, in your situation, and we won't go into specifics, but I guess, you know, you were targeted as having, I guess, a particular view or, you know, attacked, basically, effectively. But how did, like, it was within the Facebook forum, but how did that, I guess, propagate throughout other social media networks?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I often wonder how some people have enough time to do all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Because it was kind of happening all over people's different blogs and different feeds, and at the same time I saw people having different debates with different groups all over different forums on the internet. And, you know, I wonder about, you know, in the queer community, us so intensely fighting with each other a lot of the time rather than just having discussions where it's okay for people to disagree. But unfortunately, this often just turns into, because we're hiding behind a screen, we can have loud, we can say what we want, which we wouldn't say to someone's face. And so this kind of gets the message, people's intention gets misconstrued, and then of course that leads to people like getting bullied over other people because something might be misunderstood, or there's just personal vendettas, which a lot was that in my case was what was happening.
Yeah, I guess because, yeah, I know you as very, I guess the two of you as very highly I view you as very highly politicized people. I mean, what,
with where public profiles,
with public profiles, yeah. What is that? Like, how does that play into this whole attacking?
Yeah, did that inflame? Did that have something to do with it?
Yeah, I think people maybe have different ideas of both of us that they see. And I think this kind of plays out a lot with internet culture and with kind of celebrity culture. Not saying that we're celebrities, but in the sense of we have this way where we view certain people that we've learnt from, you know, gossip mags or whatever, where we think, where we believe what
we're
told.
That we know them.
That we know them, yeah, and we can make these grand statements about them, but we've never actually had a conversation with the person. Mm-hmm. And if you sat down, you could maybe have a really interesting conversation. But instead of doing that, we love to gossip and tear each other down. And I see this a lot in the queer community, and it really saddens me, to be honest.
And I think one of the problems too is that people aren't allowed to make mistakes anymore, it seems.
Yeah. Mm. I guess on that, Amber, I mean, I guess you witnessed Ruby being, I guess, attacked. There's a term called calling out. Do you want to just maybe define that for us?
Oh, dear.
Tell us what it means.
I think
means.
People have been trying to define that all over
what's
the
your
place.
What's your definition? I mean, I'm all for diverse
I
definitions.
I think that people, at the moment, it seems like this umbrella term for a person or a group of people who think that something is offensive and then they call them out on it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And I think it's taken on a different life or a different form, I guess, on the internet,
yep,
as opposed to, you know, if it's face-to-face where you say, hey, I think what you did was really shit or whatever. And
A lot of the time there's no... there's no end point to it as well, you know. There's no
no resolution possible.
It's just like, and anything you say will be wrong. And if you don't say anything, it's also wrong.
So, oh, how awful.
And all the behaviours are excused under this umbrella of calling out. So there's this idea, I think, that all of the behaviours that people engaged in with Ruby, for instance, was because she was being called out, so it's okay, and therefore it's not bullying, and it's, you know, those
so that's an excuse as well for the behaviour.
Kath, I mean, you talk about in your day, I guess, for want of a better term, sorry, but, you know, like in the past, before social media, like, you know, how did you deal with this kind of issue?
Well, you know, back in our anarchist meetings in the 80s, you know, working in community media, sometimes you would, someone would say, so-and-so is doing such-and-such, which is undermining our whatever, and there'd be like a big Barney about it, but really, the only way you could kind of talk about that was over the phone. We were even in our grungy broadcasting studios not allowed to call out people personally because it is against the Broadcasting Act, you know, to defame anyone. But we didn't have the internet. So that's the difference. So you have to ring someone up and have an argument with them. And I think there's a real difference there in face-to-face or one-on-one. And, these days I guess it's, you know, 20 years later, the sort of hothead I was then has sort of gone.
Dissipated.
And I think that's also a part of it too. It tends to be like younger folk. So I guess I want to ask you, Amber, when did you realise that this wasn't just, we disagree with what you're saying about such and such? Like, did that happen fairly quickly on in the thing, or was there any debate about what might be the right way forward? Like, when did it start getting nasty?
I think it gets nasty very, very quickly. Really? In these debates, And I think that, you know, and it's often, it's not just one person, there's 20 people on there and they like each other's comments or they screenshot and screen cap and tumble it or whatever the right word is.
Yeah, get with the terms, please, Amber.
Well, that's, I mean, that's the thing. Language as well is... And I, you know, in my experience, I had people call me up and being like, I don't understand what they're talking about. I can't understand this language because it's this really academic language. And people saying, I'm being told that I've done this thing, but I don't understand what it is I've apparently done. And then in a response, when they haven't used the right words in the response, then it's like, you've said this one wrong thing, and there's no point to go, oh, but why doesn't that person apparently know what the right thing is to say? Let's have a discussion about class. Let's have a discussion about privilege then in this context.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. It's 8:21 and we're going to play some music. And this is a special song dedicated to our special guests, Ruby and Amber.
Joy 94.9.
Kissing kittens and rainbow ponies in the studio here at Lefty Pinkos. We've Kath, that's me, and Brian.
And Brian here
and
in
our
the
guests,
hot seat.
Ruby and Amber this week. I guess one of the things that really disturbed me about this particular story is when Amber told me that at least some of the people attacking Ruby were saying things like, you should go and kill yourself. How did you react when you saw that? Now, you weren't being targeted for that, but you were seeing it. What did it make you feel like?
Absolutely disgusted and revolted that I would even know people that would say that to somebody. I find it so horrific. You know, particularly given that this community is already a minority community, already experiences very high levels of suicide and self-harm, that these people, and this is, I think, where lateral violence comes into it in terms of what Brian was talking about, where, you know, a community engages in bullying amongst each other. Yeah, it's horrible. And I can only imagine how I would feel if that was someone saying that to me. It's horrible, horrible.
Yeah, because most of us, or a lot of us anyway, in the community have faced that sort of decision, issue, matter about ourselves at some point anyway. You don't really, you don't want to see that there.
And often from externally, from the, you know, like within, outside
pressure,
of our community.
Exactly.
Like, as in, you know, like,
The others, exactly. So, Ruby, how did you react to reading that?
I guess it... There's nothing, I guess within it there wasn't really anything that was worse than anything else. It was just all bad, you know, it was just all bad. And the thing is that this is the stuff that leads to people wanting to kill themselves, because it is something that you feel you cannot get away from. And that is really, really scares me. If I had have been, you know, say when I was kind of younger and, you know, I'd just come out and all of a sudden I only wanted to be around queer people because they were the only people that understood me, you know. A lot of us, we go through that. And you just want to be around queer people because straight people are going to say something offensive and you always have to be on guard, and you go through that phase. And then I, you know, as I've grown up, I've moved beyond that. But say if I was still in that phase where I had all my life invested into the queer community and something like this happened to me, I mean, I was really in a place where I could have considered something like suicide, because I was just absolutely devastated. So if this is just actually your life, I mean, this is what this stuff results in, and people don't see that reality because they're behind the computer screen.
Hiding behind keyboards, effectively, yeah. I mean, I know that kind of it's curbed the way you feel socially, Ruby, in terms of, you know, your, I guess, your courage to go out. Can you tell us about that, rather?
Well, yeah, I guess it happened a year ago, and I've never kind of recovered from it. But
really?
I guess before that, as I said, I had been changing my social life anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I do have different activist communities that I hang out in a lot, and which I found to be a hell of a lot less judgmental and a lot less self-policing. And probably because they don't actually spend that much time on the internet, to be honest.
We've got one more message, actually, from the same... it's a serial texter tonight, actually. A bit of a fan, I think.
A stalker.
But they say the people who behave like this need to acknowledge their own privilege through their social capital and their tertiary education. I'd love to actually bring up the tertiary education and I guess that kind of lived experience aspect after these short messages. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Just after 8:30 on Lefty Pinkos, you're with Joy. Brian and Kath here. We're talking about cyberbullying. And we're talking about the sort of cyberbullying that happens within our communities. So, you know, the general kind of, you know, gay, lesbian, queer, etc., trans communities, and the effect that it can have on people. And we have a question from one of our listeners saying, and I'll put this to our guests, do our guests think that this style of argument is elitist and excludes certain people and their views? And I guess by that, we're talking about the sort of the language that's used in the bullying and how that can intimidate people. What did you see happening with that?
Well, I'm privileged enough to be up, you know, on some of the things. I mean, one of the things that I was called for for saying something was like, you know, shut up, you're just a fab woman. I'm like, oh, fab, fabulous, that's awesome. And then I was like, oh, actually, no, that's bad because it's female assigned at birth, so that's not good.
Huh.
And I think that there's new terms all the time and it's really hard to keep up with what's going on. Mm. And, you know, I tried to explain it to a couple of friends of mine what was going on. So I was so consumed and felt like, because I wasn't the one being targeted, that I felt like I had to monitor what was going on so that nothing really bad was going on, or I could try and counter it or whatever. But for whatever reason, that was what was going on in my head at the time. And I tried to explain it to some friends of mine. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what does cis mean? What is this? What is that? I don't understand. You know.
What is cis, actually? Just.
Oh, see, I'll probably stuff it up and then.
Oh, no, I mean, well, yeah, so, yeah. What, how do you see cis, the term cis?
That you match the gender assigned to you at birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
your
that's
sex
it.
Matches your gender,
yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
I guess, yeah, I mean, we're talking terms and definitions and terminology and whatnot. I guess, how do you feel about that? Do you think there's a lot of tension in what you've experienced because of that academic take on, you know, political correctness or defining things or whatever, and the lived experience? I mean, how do you feel
I think there's a
that?
Certain way that you have to engage with these kind of fights. There's a certain language that you have to use, and there's a certain... battle, you know, rules of war or whatever it is that's already said. And if you don't engage, I think, as Ruby said earlier, if you don't engage properly, then everything that you say is bad. If you make a mistake, it's wrong. If you're not, if you don't say the right thing, you're wrong.
And do you think that's like an academic privilege, or does it come from that kind of, I guess...
Well, academic privilege often comes from class privilege, doesn't it? So, you know, there's certain types of people that
occupy those positions.
Yeah, funneled into our universities. You know, obviously other people go to universities too, but, you know. And
this is wars around ideology, largely, aren't we? I mean, no one was, you know, slapped or whatever, attacked or whatever. We're talking about sort of wars over ideologies. And I always find that really interesting in our culture that people care, because, like, in a culture like Australia, there's, you know, people who are being oppressed and there's people who aren't, and there's people who would just, it seems to me, sometimes love to be.
I thought we were egalitarian in Australia.
Yeah, well, you know, it is something about that ground that's fought over work. Words and language. Mm-hmm. And you just sometimes think with it, you know, like you were saying, like, you know, these people really do need to get a life and a bit of perspective.
And I think also in these communities, there isn't much discussion around these issues of class. And I can really see that because I do have the privilege of having gone to university, but at the same time, I come from a very working class background. And I see how much I deny that and hide that in within this community and try to kind of pass myself off as someone who's a middle class or upper class university educated person. And I do have the language and I can do it to a certain extent. But, you know, if you look at my bank account, you'll see that I don't actually pass.
Well, not a lived experience, really, is it?
Yeah, and so I can straddle both these worlds and see this and see these kind of expectations because I think, you know, as I said, like there's a lot of time being spent online and I think, well, I don't have this much time to be online. I have to work really hard to pay my rent.
Mm. Yeah. I guess that's not my experience. Like I have discussions of class amongst my friends, but like the group that was, you know, involved in the bullying, I knew a few of them that weren't my friends. So I guess that also
plays into the whole,
Yeah, my friends that were, knew what was going on or, you know, were supportive and could see that it was wrong, you know. Mm. So I was lucky enough to, you know, have that.
I guess, have you had conversations with those people that just, I guess, were the bystanders in this situation? Have you had chats with those people and talked about, you know, I guess, why didn't you get involved like I did? What do you talk to those people about? Did you talk to them or did you kind of, you know, have you?
I've exchanged a few angry words.
Yeah.
And
what were they, I guess, was it about?
You know, I can be a little bit hot-headed at times, so it was pretty much disgusting.
Yeah.
Mm. But, you know, in face-to-face conversations, a lot of people don't know how to deal with conflict. It's just the keyboard warriors that, you know,
I like that keyboard warriors.
Yeah. Keyboard warriors, you know, hiding behind keyboards.
I had this interesting thing where I had a lot of people who had slandered me on the internet and then I'd see them in person and they'd come up and give me a hug. Mm. And there's a real disconnect and we really don't have this kind of ethics of how to behave on the internet. Mm. I think that's really missing, not just in the LGBTQI communities, but also just in general where we don't have this kind of standards where we see the repercussions of our actions, I think, and that's something that really is something that's really important to think about, that everything you put up online can affect people and can affect you.
Yeah, I guess, it is publishing something. Like, I mean, there's laws around slander and libel that kind of talk about, I guess, expressed, defamatory language, and then there's also published stuff. And when you look at something that's online, it's actually published and and it is illegal.
And it stays there forever.
I mean, and that's the thing, like, you can maybe delete it or, like, but there's, you know, who's to say it's not, hasn't been screen captured, like, in your case, Ruby, of, you know, and then posted on another website. Mm. Like, so it's not like it's an arbitrary thing that can be deleted. It's actually kind of permanent and,
Speaking of which, how did this matter, you know, move on? What sort of resolutions did you find? Did you find any resolutions? You know, has it ended?
I mean, it's just moved on.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it, that it's just flits from one thing to the next and it destroys people and then moves on without seeing the effects. And I think that's why it's quite harmful in our community because the effects aren't seen and then it's just moved on to the next target.
Mm. One of the problems, I think, is that through the screen capping or through these kind of internet memories or whatever, these things come up years later as well. And I just wish that people would allow people to make mistakes. I think that there's so much infighting within our community and it's like people attack each other and it's like there's a much larger battle going on, you know. Yep. It's like telling people to kill themselves. It's like, there's lots of people that want us dead. Like, you know.
You don't have to add to that.
You're not
fire.
The only one.
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
It's just, you know, and I think that the way that these fights happen as well, I don't think there's anything constructive offered as well.
Yeah, and that's the kind of glaring omission from all of this debate or all of this kind of problem that it is. It's that, like, you know, there's just attack, but without any resolution or outcome that's actually constructive or benefit to people.
Yeah, that's why when you're asking, like, the calling out, you know, you do this calling out and then what happens? Like, there's no there's no rules of engagement. There's no, like, how you're supposed to do it or what the process is. It just is whoever's doing the calling out just has a field day.
And that's a position of privilege, isn't it, calling out? Like, you kind of really place yourself in that privileged position like you would, you know, in any other privileged position, Is that, I mean, Amber, you're kind of scrunching your face up here, people, listeners.
I don't know if I necessarily agree it's a position of privilege.
Okay, I'm just being rhetorical here.
Yeah, no, I do think that...
provocative, I think.
Provocative, yeah.
Well, you know, I think for the people... I really dislike calling out this whole concept of it anyway. But I think that if you feel offended by something and you feel strong enough to say something, more power to you. I think that half of the problem with what happens is that there's 100 other people who aren't a part of this offended group, whatever that may be, and jump on this bandwagon of like, hate, 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 and so I'm doing the right thing and I'm on the right side of these battle lines. I think there's a responsibility for those people to do something constructive or, you know, do something. Like, you know, it's very easy to sit behind a keyboard and just...
keep writing more hate.
Yeah.
Be a warrior, like you say, yeah. You're tuned into Joy 94.9. We'll be back after these announcements with more chats to our special guests, Ruby and Amber, all about cyberbullying.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, what a lovely ending there. That sort of wind chimey kind of feeling.
It's still going there. Get with it, people.
Woo, spacier. This is Lefty Pinkos with Kath and Brian here. And tonight we've been speaking about cyberbullying with our good friends Amber and Ruby. And what we've been talking about while that lovely music was playing was about perhaps there's not this space for learning from what's come before us and perhaps what is to come. Why isn't that there, or why is that sort of, why is that such a contested space, the kind of learning space?
I think we'll talk, going back to kind of the issue of calling out, is that when you have so many people that jump on board of something, every time I've seen this on the internet, which has been a lot of times, as we all have, I find that most of the time I don't actually know what the original apparent call out was. Mm-hmm. It just gets lost so quickly within all these people kind of jumping on and trying to be on the right side of the argument, and so the intention of the call out, whatever it might have been, even if there was or wasn't an intention to start with, gets lost, I find. And so that's really where the tension erupts.
And I also think it's got to do with people making mistakes as well. I think that in a learning environment, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to not know. You're going to have to ask the question, I don't know what that is. I don't know. Mm. And I don't think that there's safe space in which for people to do that. Oh,
what did you just say, Sarah? Can you define that?
Oh, well, you know. I think it's one of those terms that gets bandied around a lot and loses its meaning. Mm. But, yeah, I just, in terms of the learning and all learning from other people, other generations have been through different things. There's just not that space to be wrong. And if you are wrong, then, you know, it kind of stays with you.
So the aggression then just seems to sort of erupt out of what could possibly be a more kind of constructive, I don't know, you know, argument or debate or to-ing and fro-ing, because I see a lack of this too. I've got a friend here telling me on her Facebook page that she had people attack her, so she defriended them, as you would, and then they set up a Facebook group, which was We Hate Her Name, and nicked photos and stuck it there and did all this stuff there. So, you know, I can see that this the aggression just seems to go into hyperdrive.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I mean, to do that to someone, I can't fathom how you could do such a thing. I mean, I wouldn't even want to do that to my worst enemy, you know, because attacking people so personally is just horrendous. You make people question their entire sense of self, and you have to realize how much power you have when you're typing on your keyboard. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of power, and you can really do damage to people. Not to mention that it also can have legal ramifications that are very real. So you need to also be aware of that.
I guess, I mean, it's maybe not, I mean, I'd probably sort of suggest that just powerful, yes, but it's also, it's about that responsibility. You have a responsibility, I guess, in that kind of that right to, you know, assert these things or whatever. But there's, you know, I think at the end of the day, we have to be responsible about what we put up there. And as Amber said, you know, it's about that kind of education and also providing that safe space, for want of a better term, to kind of, you know, make mistakes and learn and yeah, be educated accordingly. We've got a comment that somebody's called in Gordon at reception.
Oh, yeah.
Sean has called in and he said that if he was to contribute to a conversation online as a white male or a trans man, he might not be given the space to speak and would be shut down / out, no matter the relevance of his opinion. I guess put it out there. What do you make of that comment?
Well, I think it's probably going back to something that Kath said a little bit earlier about this idea of a hierarchy of oppression or privilege, whichever, you know, positive or
negative.
Oppression's
Olympics or...
Yeah, and that people, or as I said earlier, how I was like, oh, shut up, you're a fab woman. So, you know, obviously I can't speak in this space because I'm a female assigned at birth. Mm-hmm. So I guess the caller, Sean, is saying that he feels that as a white trans man, that things that he said won't be listened to because he doesn't have the right, oppression at the moment that... is going to give him currency in order to
within
talk,
the situation, yeah.
I guess, because it does shift and change all the time.
You know?
Trans men were in and now they're not anymore. Yeah. Unfortunately, all my friends that are trans, I love you.
Yeah, I'm still in love with the trans dude. So.
Well, I think the problem is as well is that take this conversation outside of the queer community and, you know, we were talking about how Amber's friends didn't know what was happening. They couldn't understand. But take it into the outside world where they really, a lot of them hate us and they're going, what the hell are you talking about? You know, so there's this idea of people having a certain amount of privilege, but we're part of a minority group here and you don't know what people's everyday lived experience is. So you read someone as something, but you don't know how they walk through the world. And so, you know, I can't imagine that it's going to be the easiest walk through the world if you're a trans man, you know, but who knows? It's not for me to say who experiences what. Yep. And so these assumptions are really what we should be trying to tear down in this community.
Yeah, and it doesn't make someone's opinion any less valid because they don't have the right things, you know, the right identity markers in order to, you know, yeah, I've collected 5 so I can speak here and I can say the most. You know, it doesn't, you know, everyone's opinion is valid in some way or another. You might not agree with it, but they have a right to have it.
Mm-hmm. I think that is contested ground. I was just saying today on Facebook, I said that I didn't think Christians had any right to comment on anyone's same-sex, you know, marriage or relationship or whatever, and about their children and so forth. But I honestly felt that their opinion was illogical, unreasonable and unnecessary. So even I also can say, no, you've got no right to speak here. I don't care what you say. You know, and that's a terrible kind of attitude that kind of floats around, isn't it? No, you can't speak in this space.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, you can think that their opinions are unnecessary, irrelevant, offensive, you know, but they have a right to it. I just completely disagree with it.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to wrap things up. This has been an amazing discussion. I just want to say thanks to Ruby for being so generous with your experience and Amber, I guess, for being there for Ruby, but also talking about your, I guess, role within countering cyberbullying. I guess, you know, I mean, it is lateral violence. It is something that we need to deal with as a queer community. And I do encourage our listeners to, if you want to look at the term, and I guess it starts with naming it, basically, and understanding how to name and label it in order to understand it and work against it. So, yeah, just Google the term lateral violence. There's a lot of stuff from the Native American experience that has come to Australia and applied to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. So just, yeah, lateral violence is the term. Google it. But thanks to Ruby and Amber for your chats. We're going to go out with something a bit calming. I thought I'd go out with Tori Amos and her song Pretty Good Year. But we'll be back next week with Lefty Pinkos. And next week we're actually going to have a chat to some of the mob from Outblack. They went away on a camp getaway. Last weekend down to Goondij country. And, I want to bring them in to kind of talk about that getaway, but also they're planning an event for NAIDOC Week in July that I'd like to kind of get them to have a bit of a yarn to you mob about. So tune in next week, Tuesday at 8 p.m. And just I want to kind of, again, I guess say, if any of this stuff in tonight's Lefty Pinkos has brought some stuff up, I do encourage you, if you want to talk to somebody, there's a switchboard here in Victoria and that can be called on 9... 0800 663 2939. You can check out their website, which is switchboard.org.au, or you can even check out Beyond Blue at www.beyondblue.org.au, or you can call them on 1300 224636. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.